With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Packers Talk Network.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game ticket from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website at ticketking.com. Again, that's at ticketking.com.
It is good! The Packers are moving on! Aaron Rodgers has done it again! And Mason Crosby, a hero for Green Bay!
You're listening to the best Packer radio show on the internet.
Cheesehead Radio.
Reach the audience.
Get those back.
So I think that's the logical explanation.
Let's just, you know, say that didn't happen.
It was a return to greatness. It was a return to form.
It's crazy. And he just kind of flew under the radar.
Get this out there so I sound good on Cheesehead Radio.
Yeah.
No negativity allowed, sir.
So I think that's actually going to be really exciting to watch. I don't think there's anything positive we can say. There's a lot.
Oh, right? Oh, you were looking for positive.
Yeah.
I guess that's what I meant. Positive, I
yeah.
think.
All right, Packer Nation, welcome back to Cheesehead Radio. We're really glad to have you back this week. Hopefully you're joining us for the umpteenth time, and if it's your first time joining us, welcome. We'll try to make it worth your while. Hey, my name is CD Angeli. I am Tundervision on Twitter, and you can find my writing occasionally over at PackersDoc.com and Cheesehead TV. I am joined, two of us in the studio tonight, Michelle Bruton, also of Cheesehead TV and Bleacher Report and a whole bunch of other places. She is joining me tonight. Jimmy Snowden, the maternal one, has a new baby. She's not going to be with us again tonight. We might be lucky enough to be joined by the amazing Jersey Al Bracco a little later on in the show. He's a little under the weather, but he might join us. Let's hope that happens. Anyway, we got a big, big, big show tonight. Got a great guest coming up, Bart Winkler. Winks Thinks on Twitter, joining us with some great knowledge bombs. Please join us for that in about 15 minutes. Sponsoring the Packers Talk Network this year, you'll find folks at Ticket King. Now, they've been selling Packers, Badgers, and other tickets in Wisconsin for over 25 years and have earned a reputation for excellent customer service and prices. So be sure to check out the website, theticketking.com. Well, that's enough of me talking. Let's get into some Packers news.
Packers news.
All right, well, we'll open the show tonight with some important injury news, not about the Packers, but about their upcoming opponent, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. According to Bucs coach Dirk Cotter, quarterback Jameis Winston, who has been out with a shoulder injury, will return to action this week against the Packers.
Now, that is either terrible news for the Packers defense, or maybe it's welcome news. Now, in many ways, Winston's backup, Ryan Fitzpatrick, has actually been more effective for the Bucs. Of course, that could have simply been because Winston was hurt before his absence.
Speaking of quarterback injuries, Packers Twitter was a Twitter on Sunday when video of Aaron Rodgers throwing deep balls without a care in the world prior to the game surfaced. Rodgers will become eligible to practice for the first time since he was placed on IR on Friday, but Saturday will be the first actual practice day he could participate in. No word yet on whether he'll be out there in pads.
Oh, I can't wait. Now, the first game Rodgers would be eligible to return for this season, if he returns at all, would be December 17th at the Carolina Panthers.
Speaking of Rodgers, if you haven't read it already, a wonderful story by Kendra Meinert of the Green Bay Press Gazette has been making the rounds today, involving certain Packers quarterbacks, a young Bears fan and his mom, and a chance meeting in Chicago. Go check it out if you haven't already.
Now, another roster moves. The Packers signed linebacker Ahmad Thomas to the practice squad on Wednesday. This rookie out of Oklahoma is briefly with the Oakland Raiders this offseason. At 220 pounds, Thomas would figure to be a hybrid sub-package player for the Packers.
In other news, Packers players continue to get into legal trouble. News broke on Wednesday that tight end Lance Kendricks was cited for speeding in September. And though Local 5 News in Green Bay reported that Kendricks was also cited for possession of marijuana, Kendricks denies that there was any marijuana citation, only a speeding ticket.
If you've had a feeling this season that the Packers have been the team in the NFL most impacted by injuries, ESPN agrees with you in ranking the teams that have been most adversely affected by injuries this season. The Packers come in at number one. Hey, we're number one, obviously. Aaron Rodgers is a huge reason. Yeah, we're number one. Not usually this season, but we're number one in something. Now, obviously, losing Aaron Rodgers is a huge reason why, but injuries at running back, on the offensive line, and the secondary also factored in.
If you're planning to watch the Packers take on the Bucks on the Fox television broadcast this weekend, you'll be witness to none other than Greg Jennings calling an NFL game in his first official capacity as the color analyst in the booth. Given some of Jennings' recent disparaging comments about the organization, that should be interesting to say the least.
If it makes you feel better, if you looked at the Fox coverage map for the Packers game this weekend, there's not that many people that will be listening to him. Pretty much just people. A small little section of Wisconsin and a small little section of Florida. That's about it. Finally, in some promising news ahead of Week 13, rookie running back Aaron Jones practiced on Wednesday for the first time following his knee injury on November 12th. Now we'll see if he joins Jamal Williams in the backfield against Tampa Bay on Sunday.
And that was your Packers news of the week. Now it's time for your
Packer Tweets from Packer Beats.
First of all, tonight we're going to hear from at Michael Cohen 13, a guest on the show, great guy whose interview with Pro Football Focus's top-ranked tackle in the NFL. I don't know if you guys saw that on the broadcast. Top-ranked tackle from Pro Football Focus defends this year's draft class from those who so desperately wanted T.J. Watt. He tweets, "Hell of an answer from Packers LT David Bakhtiari about the Steelers pass rush. I never saw Bud Dupree. I just saw T.J. Watt. On that end, I'm happy we took Vince Beagle, to be honest, and I'm very happy that we ended up getting Kevin King and took Beagle."
So are we, David. In other news, our friend at Fake Rogers ponders the unponderable as he watched the game on Sunday, tweeting, "I think Brett Hundley legit starts to salivate when he senses the opportunity to take a sack."
Ooh. Fake Rogers. Anyway. Well, Hundley had a pretty good game. Now, despite still being a prime sack target, his game wasn't quite as good as Chris Collinsworth would have liked to have us believe. Now, at Ebrooks Uncut nails all of our thoughts when he tweeted, quote, "As good as Rodgers is, I don't know if he outplays Brett Hundley tonight. Jeebus Cripes, start drug testing your announcers, NBC.
Finally, if you're missing the guy normally taking snaps center for the Packers, so are many of the Packers players. You want to have your heart sink a little, especially after watching Aaron throw in pregame last Sunday. Listen to Rob Domofsky sing it. Quote, Clay Matthews said he's seen Aaron Rodgers in the rehab group, and he looks so good that, quote, we probably should have kept him off IR.
Oh, wait, we could have kept him off IR? Oh, my Lanta, what might have been and what could be? And that was the Cheesehead Radio Tweet of the Week.
Tweet of the Week.
Yeah. I don't do
Could
it quite
have
as well.
Off, but
You think,
free up a
what do you think?
Spot.
You think? Do you think? Do you think? Looking at the way he threw last week, do you think we could have kept him off?
I mean, I think, you know, the point there is if he's ready to come back now, he could have come back now. But in the meantime, if we didn't have that roster spot to use, given all the other injuries, you know, maybe they wouldn't have even been in position to do anything if he was available to come back. So, I don't know. It's not like they could have done much worse, I guess, than they've done in his absence. Mm. But I think they made, and I haven't said this a lot about the Packers this year, but I think they made the best decision they could with the information they had at the time. This was supposed to be an injury that was going to take him a while to recover from, especially being on his throwing shoulder.
Well, you might remember that Reggie White had this amazing ability to heal. Like, he would go down, and at the end of the game on a Sunday, they would say that he had fractured his leg, compound fractured his leg in six places on Sunday. And, of course, we're like, oh, my gosh, he's out for the season. By Wednesday, you know, he was up and walking around in a boot. By Friday, he was jogging. Saturday, he was participating in drills, and Sunday he'd come out and start again. I don't think all players are like that, and I might think that some of Reggie White's things were a little overblown, but yeah, maybe it stands to reason that Aaron Rodgers is a really fast healer. He did bounce back really well from his collarbone a couple years ago. We were all worried because now it's his right collarbone, and he's obviously right-handed. But in the end, what happens here? The games he would have missed regardless were these really, really tough games, the ones we played these past couple weeks. If he were to come back this upcoming week, he'd go against, what, the Buccaneers and Cleveland. Chances are, if Brett Hundley plays the way he did last week and the defense plays like they did last week, we should come out with two wins. And now he comes back for the game he was going to come back for anyway, and the Packers probably are no worse off. So, I don't know. I'm not going to worry too much about it, but, yeah, it's always easy to second guess. I agree with you. I think they made the best call they could.
Yeah.
If you are just joining us here on Cheesehead Radio, my name is CD, and this is Michelle. And we're going to be joined in just a few minutes by the amazing Bart Winkler. So we're excited to hear what he has to say on this Packer non-win. Talk to me, Michelle. We were so sure that the Packers, I was predicting potentially a 62-10 loss. Tell me about your feelings as we got through that first quarter, and we're just kind of like, wait, what? Wait, what? No, this isn't what I didn't predict that. We're doing well. We're ahead. Wait, what? How was that taking you?
I was laughing helplessly because it's almost, you know, I've reached a point, and I've sort of alluded to this already, but I've reached a point where I don't expect them to make the playoffs this season. I'm kind of taking things as they come. I'm looking for development in the young players. I'm thinking about the draft class. You know what I mean? I'm looking forward to how great next year could be. So coming from that mindset, you know, I wasn't going to be devastated if they lost, but certainly when they came out dominant, I mean, when they were leading, you know, 14-6, I was just laughing because it was just so, it's so funny to me that, you know, Packers Twitter has been imploding on itself for weeks. And it almost felt like people didn't really know what to do with themselves because no one had expected that kind of start. And certainly, you know, the Steelers brought a lot of it on themselves because they made a lot of mistakes. You know, Ben Roethlisberger has to throw that interception. But, yeah, you know, the Packers were able to make a play to come away with it. So, you know, I think the defense, I think, really was the difference in this game. It's hard to kind of fault them for letting the game slip away on a field goal in the final seconds. They did, you know, as much as they could, I felt, to kind of limit this high-powered offense and keep the Packers in the game. But unfortunately, you know, as we've seen so many times already this season under Brett Hundley, this just isn't an offense that's going to be able to match opponents like the Steelers blow for blow. But, yeah, it was a wild ride.
Yep, they did. They did match them.
Pretty close, yeah.
This game.
Yeah. Yeah. And
I mean, how many times did you have that feeling during the game where it was like, hey, okay, we're ahead 14 to whatever, 14 to 6, whatever it was. And they come back, they get the two-point conversion, you're like, okay, it's 14-14. Now it starts. Now we're never going to, you know, let me go ahead again. And they come back and they tell you, like, oh, okay, there it is. I mean, we were keeping ahead of them. I mean, Pittsburgh didn't take a lead again, what was it, the third or fourth quarter? I mean, we had the lead. The majority of the game. I mean, that's crazy. If we're surprised, how do you think the Pittsburgh fans were feeling?
Oh, I know. Well,
I mean, you think Packers Twitter would implode it? What do you think would happen to the Steelers Twitter after the game?
Yeah, and it's heartbreaking that not only was it literally a field goal with, you know, 0 seconds on the clock that sealed the deal for the Steelers, but the fact that the 53-yard field goal by Boswell was ties the longest field goal ever made at Heinz Field, which is sort of notorious for being a difficult kicking stadium.
Right.
You know, there was a really good chance that he didn't make that. 53 is hard. And so, you know, if it had just been a couple yards farther back, I think it could have been a very different story. But
and clearly you should attempt 57-yard field goals if you're in that stadium.
That was wild. I don't know what goes through. Okay, so, yes, it's 4th and 18. That kind of ties your hands a little bit. You know, if it had been 4th and 4, yeah, I absolutely think they would have gone for it. 4th and 18, you don't want to punt it. You're at the Pittsburgh 39. You want to try to do something there. But basically they did end up punting it with the missed field goal. I don't know. I mean, it was an unconscionable decision to go for it when the longest ever made at that stadium was 4 yards less than they were attempting.
Unconscionable. Oh, I love it.
Unconscionable.
But I have heard McCarthy call every name in the book, but never unconscionable. It's awesome. I love your vocabulary.
Well, hooked on phonics. Worked for me.
Worked for me, too.
But, you know, I think if they had gone for it on 4th and 18, people would have roasted them anyways because they would have said, why on earth would you go for it on 4th and 18, kick a field goal? So it was really a rock and a hard place, I think, for the coaching staff in that situation. And obviously it was kind of the fulcrum around which the whole game pivoted because they lost by 3 points. So
perfect. All right, Michelle, we're going to do something a little different this week. Are you ready?
What are you doing? Yeah.
Well, since there's only two of us, I can't go into the green room to call the guests, so we're just going to call them live.
Oh, this is great.
This is brand new for you. I know. We could. And so we're going to hope he's expecting us and that he's going to answer.
I feel like we're calling a lifeline. He wants to be a millionaire.
Hello.
Bart Winkler.
Hey, gentlemen. What's up?
And lady.
Hey, it's CD and lady and Michelle. Michelle is here.
Oh, hi.
We're excited to have
him. Hi.
Yeah, the amazing Bart Winkler is with us here.
More superlatives, please.
I was just saying, Bart, we called you live on the line, and we had the phone ringing. It was really dramatic, and I said I felt like we were using one of our lifelines on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire and calling you for
you know what?
Advice.
I have the phone right by me, and it rang, and I was watching it ring, and I thought, I always pick it up on the first ring. I'm going to let this go. Four rings this time. Just because I don't want to seem, you know, I always pick it up on the first ring for everybody. I don't want to seem like, I just one time I wanted to feel that power.
I mean,
it's very
your
dramatic.
Emotion just went up like 100%, seriously.
Yeah, thanks.
He does it right away. Perfect. Hey, Well, let's talk a little bit about these Green Bay Packers, Bart. And we're going to just bring up what we were just bemoaning a second ago, because I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. Personally, I really felt like the Packers had the momentum in this game. I even forgave the let's not do much at halftime. Let's just kind of sit on the ball, let a couple minutes go, you know, whatever. That's fine. We're going to play conservative. We're just going to try to play to win. And then we attempt a 50, what is that, a 68-yard field goal. And you just
I don't know
the tide turn in this game, man. Talk to me.
I didn't get it. I didn't get it. Especially with the other situation that you mentioned, the compare and contrast, because McCarthy had gone into that half happy to be tied. And, okay, I get it. You feel like you're the underdog. You don't want to make a mistake. Cool. But then to make that other decision, it's like it was two different guys coaching that game. And I always want to correct people when they say that McCarthy is a conservative coach. I don't think he's a conservative coach. I think he's a stubborn coach. I think he can be a predictable coach. But I don't think he's conservative. In the last 2 years since that Seattle game, he goes for a lot of fourth downs in situations where other people might punt. And that 57-yard field goal, there was nothing conservative about that, because it was so not conservative that it was stupid. It was the wrong decision at the wrong time in the wrong stadium in the wrong situation. So I know he's defended it since, and he says it's absolutely the right thing. And if they do make that field goal, they're up 10, and he looks like a genius. But the odds of that happening were so small, and the reward was so minimal, the risk so great, that you saw the Steelers at midfield with that offense, the way that Ben and Antonio, specifically those two, have been clicking, that everybody, you knew. I mean, the points weren't on the board yet, but they were. So with how that played out, it was very weird. A lot of people went into that game with low expectations, whatever. It's Sunday night. I watch it for as long as they're in it. And then it's another heartbreaker. And you look at some of these games that the Packers have lost since Rodgers went down, and for whatever reason, there were some winnable games there. I think that Vikings game, they could have won that game even when Rodgers went down. If the team wasn't so shell-shocked, they could have won that game. I kind of blame that on McCarthy. The Saints game was a winnable game. I don't know how you lose to the Ravens 23-0. I don't get it. And then this one was a winnable game. So it's not been a good 6 weeks for Mike McCarthy, and that was another example of it, that field goal.
All right, Michelle.
All right, so staying on the subject of the game for a minute, I saw one of your tweets go by in my timeline while we were all watching, and you said basically exactly one of the things I had been thinking during the game, which is that whenever the Packers tried to run a bootleg with Henley, it was like the Steelers always had someone right there, like they knew it was going to happen. And I still think McCarthy is struggling to call plays that put Henley in the best position to succeed and kind of adapt the playbook to Henley as opposed to what he likes to run with Rodgers. And I was curious what you think about that.
I think there's things that Hundley does that are good. There should be more of the read options. There should be more where he runs the football. Now, he had that hamstring injury 2 weeks ago, so I don't know how much that's impacted things for Hundley. But, yeah, you can't call the game like you would call it with Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers gets these guys open even if they're not open. He can get Jordy Nelson open when he's not open. He can do these kind of things. Hundley can't. I think with Hundley, you need to have him be the one to allow other people to make plays and not the other way around. Rodgers is the one making plays, right, when he's in there.
Mm-hmm.
Hundley needs to just be the facilitator. And you saw that he was in his three touchdowns. He got the pass to Williams,
right,
long pass touchdown. Randall Cobb, broken play. He was able to get it to him. Cobb made the play. Devontae, he was able to get it to him. Devontae made that play with that little stutter step and then getting separation. Hundley just needs to be the guy to either, if it's not finding the busted coverage or taking advantage of Devontae making these plays, get your guys the ball, whether it's short slants or screens. Get your guys the ball. You can't do the same things with Rodgers that you're doing with Hundley. I think McCarthy's had a hard time kind of adjusting that because, I don't know if they know what they have in Hundley. Two, maybe they thought he was a little better than he is. Hundley's stat line was great on Sunday night, but he wasn't like he was that much more improved than the Ravens game or the Bears game. You see him learning. You see him making better decisions. But when I think of Brett Hundley right now, I think of a guy rolling out 15 yards back and throwing it out of bounds, or I think of a guy that loses his first read, dances around in the pocket, and then everything collapses on him. That's still what I think of Brett Hundley right now, and there's such a disparity between him and Rodgers that you have to reflect that in your play calling.
Right.
Hey, Bart, this is Al here. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, no problem.
Hey, after the Pittsburgh game, you tweeted out something to the effect that being so close to beating Pittsburgh on the road makes the Lambeau loss to the Ravens look just that much worse. This is a big issue I'm having. I really don't know which team the Packers really are. They were truly on opposite sides of the spectrum those last two games. What's your general feeling about this team?
I don't think they're that good. That Ravens game, I don't know how that happened. 23-0 to the Ravens. They're a team that is bad. And the defense is all right. I mean, the defense made plays on Hundley, sure. But Joe Flacco, I mean, is terrible. We talk about different quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Would you rather have over Hundley? Would you rather have over Hundley? I would not have Joe Flacco over Hundley. I know he's won a Super Bowl. I know he's a veteran. I think he's completely lost it. That game on Monday was, what are we watching with him? But
yeah.
Joe Flacco was able to come into Green Bay and lead his team to a 23-0 victory. I think it was one of the, it has to be one of the worst losses in McCarthy's tenure. I mean, they lost three straight games at home, and that Ravens game, this little stretch here, Ravens, Steelers, Buccaneers, Browns, that at least afforded you the possibility of winning some football games because you were getting some bad teams on that schedule. Now, I think the Ravens, as of right now, would be a playoff team, which I don't understand that. That second wild card in the AFC is definitely up for grabs. But if the Packers win that game against Baltimore, they can be afforded this loss a little easier. You're in a tough situation now. They're 5-6. You look at the wild card. You look at the NFC North. It's going to be too hard to catch Minnesota. It's going to be too hard to catch the wild card teams because you got Carolina there, 8-3, Atlanta, 7-5, but Atlanta beat you. It just the Packers, if you want to get hopeful, sure, they can beat Tampa, and they can beat the Browns, and then maybe Rodgers comes back, and they can beat Carolina, and then the Vikings, and then the Lions, and they win 5 in a row. You can see that happening, and you can convince me that can happen. But I don't see these other teams in front of them doing what the Lions did last year and giving the Packers a way in after they started so poorly. So even if the Packers, if this Packers team plays like they did Sunday, they can win some of these games. You add Rodgers to the mix if he's healthy. You can run the table again. It's just, I think it's going to be too little too late with how far of a hole they've dug themselves in.
Okay.
So my next question is actually a really good segue from that. So basically we know that, you know, Friday would be the first day that Rodgers is eligible to practice again, but they don't practice on Friday, so it would actually be Saturday. And from what we saw him doing before the Steelers game, it seems pretty likely that he'll be out there practicing. And then the first game that he'd be eligible to return is December 17th against the Panthers. And I know that some people sort of see this as, you know, defeatist or pessimistic or whatever, but I'm sort of the mind that, you know, even if they win the next couple games and they're in a better playoff position, they're still pretty far outside the top six seeds. I'm kind of feeling like it just, there's not really a situation in which it even really makes sense to bring Rodgers back this season, and I'm curious. I know that's sort of a hot take, so I'm curious what you think about that.
Well, you got to do pros and cons. I mean, what would the pros be to having Rodgers come back? If you're in the playoff race, or if there's even a chance for you to get in, I think if he's healthy, you bring him back. It's tough wasting years when these guys have so little. So if they're mathematically in it, give yourself that opportunity with Aaron Rodgers. But if they're not, I mean, or if it's like how the Browns were mathematically in it at 0-10 last week, but they needed 100 things to happen. If it's like that, I don't know what the point would be. He doesn't need game reps to be better. And even if he gets these, it's not like the preseason where, oh, we want him to play in the preseason so the offense is in tune. It'll be a different team next year. It's 8-9 months down the road. I did see Colin Cowherd talk a little bit about how, I don't know if you guys saw that, but Rodgers is going to come back because the shadow of Favre. Rodgers needs to prove that he's as tough as Favre. Rodgers doesn't need to prove anything to anybody. So if the Packers are out of it, I don't know why you would bring him back. I don't see the pros there. I mean, sure, you could sell more tickets, whatever. You could find things like that. But from an Aaron Rodgers and a Packers standpoint, if you're out of it, then why bring him back? I would say I'm of the mindset that he's going to want to play if he's 100%. But it might be better off for him and the team to not have him in there.
Mm-hmm. Sort of how I'm feeling too.
All right. Well, since we're delving on things that could happen in the future here, you had an interesting conversation on your show this morning about the Packers wide receivers group, the need to free up some salary cap money, and the connection between those two things. Nelson and Cobb were the obvious question marks and the most obvious opportunities to free up the most money. What do you see happening there this offseason?
I feel like for the last 2 years, whenever a receiver's had a good game, Geronimo Allison specifically had like a 4-catch, 60-yard game last December. Well, there's Randall Cobb's job. I feel like Randall Cobb's had that target on his back as you look at, well, how do you restructure Rodgers? How do you get these guys? So the Randall Cobb $10 million thing, I don't see from a logical standpoint how you can continue to do that. Devontae is the receiver that needs to be there. I was super wrong on him. Last preseason I said trade this guy. He can't catch the football. He makes the impossible catches, but he can't make the easy ones. Well, now he makes the easy ones and he makes the impossible ones, and you can see the moves that he makes. He's a great receiver. So they definitely need to find a way to keep him. But you're not going to pay three receivers at $10 million plus. So one of them has to go. And it always seems like it's going to be Randall Cobb. We talked to Rob Reichel today, the guest that we had on. He mentioned Nelson could be a guy. And I haven't heard too many people say that. So I was a little surprised. Nelson's having a down year even before Rodgers got hurt. I mean, he wasn't lighting up the stat sheet. I don't know. I'd have to spend more time watching Jordy specifically on some of these plays to see if he's lost a step or not. I've always thought that if they were going to do anything, they would keep Nelson, who's like been a top receiver, especially with Aaron, and then keep Devontae, and then unfortunately move on from Cobb or figure out a way, because you can't pay three guys $10 million. But if there's a situation where you're looking at no Nelson, no Cobb, and then just Devontae, I don't see that happening. When Nelson and Cobb were both up, they made sure to get both those guys here. I don't see a way where you get rid of both those guys. I would think Cobb is the more expendable from Nelson, but after that conversation this morning, I mean, that's definitely something I'll be more attentive to Jordy's play to see if that's a thing. I would still be more surprised at this point if Jordy went before Cobb did.
Yeah, it's an interesting dynamic, especially with their relationships with Rodgers. I mean, obviously Nelson and Rodgers on the field have a real connection. Rodgers and Cobb off the field have a real connection, very good friends. So, you know, it'd be interesting to see if you have to get rid of one, which one are you going to disappoint Rodgers with?
I know. That's part of the
dilemma.
The game, especially with Rodgers builds up a rapport with these guys and they are super tight. It'd be great if, as a fan, you could say, okay, well, I want them both, so let's restructure them and just give them, you know, $5 million a year. Well, yeah, that would be great, but that's, you know, if you're a guy that's scheduled to make $10 million, and as bad as you want to win, you're not just going to take less money. We always do that as fans. We say, oh, just restructure. What if someone came to you and said, hey, we need this other guy over in accounting. You need to be paid less. Well, no, I'm not going to do that.
Bye.
Well, our company will do better. No.
Yeah.
So we always do that as fans, but you got to remember that's not how it works.
Okay. Michelle?
Well, and I think, you know, not to disagree with my good friend Rob Reichel, but I think this is a really hard year to sort of make any assessments about where Jordy Nelson's at, just because you do have him in such a different situation. I mean, he was leading the league in touchdowns before Aaron Rodgers went down. And so having him with Brett Hundley, who doesn't really have the tools to utilize a receiver of Jordy's type, you know, the types of plays that he runs. And that kind of segues into what the next thing I wanted to ask you was, which was, you know, we talked a little bit, you know, a few minutes ago about Hundley's struggles, and apologies if you haven't read it yet. I'll sort of key you in on it so that you can answer my question. But there was this really interesting article on USA Today about the Rams with Sean McVay and Jared Goff, and how Jared Goff has just looked so much better this year. I mean, eons better than he looked last year. And they figured out that Sean McVay is actually calling audibles for Goff in the headset before that 15-second play call, you know, communication shuts off. And so I guess, you know, a lot of people sort of see this as kind of a revolutionary thing, which is crazy because you'd think, you know, coaches should do whatever they can to kind of help young quarterbacks out. But I guess my question was, is there more that McCarthy could be doing, you know, in that same sort of vein? Could McCarthy literally even be calling the audible, call it, you know, until that 15 seconds, the communication cuts out, telling Brett Hundley what to look for, what to do? You know, is that something that maybe could kind of help Brett Hundley out as he continues to struggle with the things that a lot of young quarterbacks struggle with?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. That's a good article. That was the whole NFL community was kind of like, wait a minute, what are they doing?
Yeah.
That? Wow, that's really unique, and it is really unique. And I'm sure you might see other people copy it, but at this point in the season, I don't know how they, if the Packers want to emulate what the Rams are doing, I just don't know how you emulate that. I don't know. Sometimes you watch Hundley. And I don't know him. I don't know what he's like in real life. But sometimes from a football standpoint, you think, he's certainly not as smart as Aaron Rodgers. That guy's the most cerebral guy maybe the league's ever seen. But I don't know if Hundley's football smarts are up to the level of like Jared Goff. I just don't know. Some of the decisions he makes, and that could still be youth and inexperience. That'd be a great way. I mean, McCarthy, if he's this great play caller, you'd like to see him be the guy to kind of pioneer that, or him the guy to kind of do that. I don't see them implementing something like that at this point, but just simplify it as much as you can for the guy. It doesn't need to be that hard. Do the check downs, do the slants, get the ball in the playmaker's hands, run the football more as they did a little bit the other night. You can't put Hundley in situations where he has to win you a football game. You can do what you did with him on Sunday. That Brett Hundley, while not
too different from, I mean, again, we didn't see a big jump, but he's able to do some things with his legs and beat some coverages and find the open guys, and he's able to move the team down the field a little bit. Get that from him. But if you get that from him, the team should be good enough around him to win football games. The defense was not so great at times on Sunday. You know, there's some problems with the offensive line throughout the last few weeks too. So that Brett Hundley, that should be what you want. That should have been what you got 5 weeks ago. That should be what you want. But the Packers should have been in a spot where they're good enough to win games with Brett, with that Brett Hundley. And it doesn't look like they are.
Yeah.
All right, Bart, last question for you here. The Packers have what you would call two very winnable games coming up. But, of course, that's what we all said about the Ravens game, right? So, not to be negative, but if the Packers were to screw up and lose one of these games, which one do you predict?
Well, if it's the Browns game, I don't think there's any situation where I don't see McCarthy losing his job after the season. But if you lose to the Browns, especially if they don't win this weekend, if they're winless,
they're still winless.
You lose
yeah.
to the yeah. Who do they play this week? I don't even know.
Tampa Bay.
Who's Cleveland play? Do you know?
Oh, Cleveland? No, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. So if the Browns, you know, still winless at that point, 2 weeks. And you lose to them, I just don't know how. I mean, what do you do? You can't lose. Now, if the Browns are 2-9, if you lose to the winless Browns, that's such an indictment on what you're trying to do. So you have to look at that one. Then again, that one's on the road. Okay, it's not at home. But I would look at this one as one that they could lose. And I actually am optimistic to see Jameis Winston. I think Ryan Fitzpatrick would have a better chance of beating the Packers than Jameis Winston would this weekend. So I hope Jameis Winston does play. But if it's this weekend, I would think this is the more likely one for them to lose than Cleveland. But the fact that that's sort of a question, and a good question, tells you how much of a mess this season has turned out to be.
Indeed. CD, back to you.
Well, the Browns play the L.A. Chargers, and I'm still not used to saying that yet.
Oh, yeah. No one's going to be at that game. That's right.
You're not kidding. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we've been talking with the amazing Bart Winkler. You can catch him on Twitter at WinksThinks. Been following this guy for years, and he's definitely worth a follow and a listen over on The Fan over in Milwaukee. Bart, thank you so much for joining us tonight on Cheesehead Radio.
Appreciate it, everyone. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Bart.
All right. Take care, man.
Thanks, Bart.
Yep.
Thanks, guys.
Well, thanks for joining the party, Mr. Bracco.
Glad I could make it. Whew, what a day. What a day.
I guess
literally,
so.
Like five... A minute before I got back in, got the email that verified that the server is back up that I was working on all day, and now I'm having them check things out while I do this, and hopefully nobody will come back and say, this isn't working or that isn't working. So, in any case, it was a day and a half.
All right. Well, Jersey Al, may as
yes.
well just hit you up right away here. I suppose we have to get into the playbook. We never actually did the playbook before it started, so let's do that.
The playbook.
You just
so,
want to play the sting, that's all.
I did, actually. That was pretty cool. So what's your thoughts there, Mr. Bracco, on this Packer should have been a win but ended up being a loss? Horseshoes and hand grenades. What do you think?
I was veritably shocked that they played that well, and that really they should have gone to overtime at the very least with a little better clock management there near the end. But, you know, to see what they did and to see how they were able to, I mean, I don't know what you guys discussed before, but I saw improvement in Hundley and his footwork. I really did. I mean, he really looked like he was making an effort to not bail out any time he felt a little pressure and run for the sideline, you know. I mean, he did a few times, but I think in those cases they were more of a planned rollout than just, you know, heading for the sideline or heading back or backpedaling for 10 yards and getting sacked, you know, 20 yards deep. So I did see him step up. I did see him get rid of the ball a little bit better. So I saw some good improvement. You know, if he, as Bart was saying, if he plays like that, they have a chance to win these games. You know, they really do. So I was pretty impressed by the performance, especially in Pittsburgh. You know, on a national TV game at night, you thought for sure they were just going to get steamrolled, and it didn't happen. Oh, and I have to, since I'm a continual and veritable critic of Mike McCarthy, I have to say this was his best coaching job of the entire season, in my opinion. He mixed up the plays wonderfully for the most part. I had very few qualms with his play calling, which never happens. You know, I'm always complaining about two or three plays on every drive. So I have to give the guy credit. Since I rarely do, it was a nice job by Mike McCarthy.
Michelle, what do you think? I think we lost Michelle. Anyway.
No, I'm here.
I everyone to sleep.
Oh, there.
No, I was just, well, I don't know. I feel like I kind of, unfortunately, you know, got it all out before Al joined us.
True. We both did. Do you guys think that Hundley is, you know, the Packer Twitterverse was pretty hard on him a week ago. And it seems like the Twitterverse seems to go from, you know, one person to carnage to the next, depending on who they want to blame. So it seemed like Hundley maybe has a little more of a free pass now. But I found it interesting that, you know, and it's not that I disagree with you, Al. I did think McCarthy, for the most part, coached a good game. But, boy, if you were to go search Mike McCarthy idiot on Twitter, you will have 949,000 responses to that.
Well, probably mostly because of the field goal. You know,
right.
I think 99.5% of the population out there thought he was crazy to do it. I think this week that would be the main reason. I don't think anybody can really watch that game and have a lot of real complaints about the game that he called on offense.
I mean, he was pretty creative. I feel like he was going to new sections of the playbook that he hadn't really delved into in previous weeks. And then before you joined us, Al, you know, we were also saying that as crazy as it was to attempt what would have been the longest field goal ever recorded at Heinz Field, it was also 4th and 18. So it would have been pretty crazy to try to go for it, too. So I feel like
no matter what he did
in that situation, he was, you know.
Yeah, well, for me, you just punt the ball. I'm not saying go for it. You punt the ball, you back them back, you know, deep into their own end, and you play field position. That's what I would do.
But yeah.
In any case. We know what happened.
How many turnovers did we end up with in that game?
Believe it was 3.
Turnover.
You mean recovered?
That we turned over. We got from that. We recovered.
Okay. Well, Martinez
I think it was
got
3.
Two.
The two interceptions and the fumble recovery. So Randall had the interception, and then Martinez had the interception and the recovered fumble.
So it was really a reversal of the previous week when we had given the ball up so much. Yeah. I mean, that really does make a big difference in what you're going to see and how a game is going to turn out. Those turnovers are huge. So, maybe the Steelers could have generated a few more touchdowns, but we didn't give him a chance to punt the ball or to score. That, to me, I think that was a little stepping up on the part of our defense, too, to take a really, really good team and what's a relatively solid offense with some, you know, some pretty primetime players on it, and to force that many turnovers, that was huge. For our defense, which we've pretty much also buried along with Brett Hundley last week, definitely, I think, a real big stepping up on for them also.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's pretty crowded in that grave that everybody we've buried. Isn't it? Not much elbow room in there.
No. So here's what we're looking at before we hit our hot pockets. The Packers have what we'll say are two cupcake games, which you think they should win.
Okay.
And then they have a series of three games, which are going to be a little more difficult. I mean, relatively solid Carolina team, very solid Minnesota team, obviously, which is kind of the sweetheart of the league right now. And then, you know, the Lions are going to play as tough as they usually do the last game of the season. How do you see this season finishing right now?
Well, that's my hot
topic.
Let's put it on. I don't know that I want to go there.
Okay, we'll let Michelle go.
I can step in. So obviously it's hard to kind of predict without knowing when or if Aaron Rodgers is going to come back. But I kind of think the result could be the same either way, which is that they hopefully would win the next two games against the Bucs and the Browns, but then potentially could lose the final three games against the Panthers, the Vikings, and the Lions, which at that point would probably have them out of wild card contention. Even if Rodgers comes back, those games against the Vikings and the Lions are going to be tricky, and the Panthers. I don't think that winning out is a possibility. I don't think realistically. So I think that kind of leaves you with, I hate to say it's all or nothing, but I think if they don't win out, they don't make the playoffs. And I don't think they're going to win out.
I think you're sitting at six losses, and to win out, you had to make you 10-6. I don't think 9-7 is going to get you in. And right now they're projected as the ninth seed. So, yeah, they'd only have to catapult a couple spots up, but you know, who are they catapulting up over? The Lions, 6-5. The Seahawks, 7-4. To try to sneak in and I don't know. It's hard to have happen, but, you know, it's very possible that they could run the table. Ooh, they could run the table. You know what? Might be time for our hot pockets.
Come on.
Hot pockets. Herb sauce.
Cheesy drizzle.
Oh yeah.
Jersey Al, we're gonna let you start this week's hot pockets.
Trampling all over me, aren't you?
Absolutely.
Well, speaking of run the table, I am all in this week on the run the table bandwagon. I don't see why it's less of a chance of happening this year than it was last year. If you remember what the Packers team looked like before the week of run the table started, it was a total mess. I mean, it was a disaster. Couldn't have been much worse than what it is now, with the exception of it was Rodgers that really wasn't playing well, which was even harder to fathom. So, you know, as Mike McCarthy said in his press conference, they got to get to 10 wins. I agree with you. 9-7 isn't going to do it. Just no way. There's too many teams that are in contention. 10-6, I think, could do it. You know, and I think actually I saw something about the playoff chances of the Packers if they were to finish 10-6, and it was pretty high. I think it was over 80% that they would make the playoffs. Of course, those are all projections, but still. So I don't see why we can't, at least for this 1 week, evangelize for run the table, and that's what I'm doing. I'm all in. I'm believing it's time to run the table, and that is my
hot pocket.
Yeah.
So I'm going to suggest that perhaps Mr. Jerzy Albracco is on board the optimistic train at this point.
You know, there's only 1 week left to be on the optimistic train, potentially. So, right? I mean, if they lose this game, it's done. It's over. Season is done.
Yeah.
So why not at least, why not be positive for one more week and just be optimistic and go week by week? That's what I'm doing.
Now I see where he's coming from. Also, if the Packers do win next week, I think we need to turn the phrase run the table into a drinking game because...
Oh, no, we'll all be dead.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Exactly.
Or lying in the gutter somewhere if we don't die.
All right. Well, I know Michelle and I are both having hot pockets about linebackers, but I will take mine first, and I'm going to speak about one Mr. Clay Matthews III. Clay Matthews III. I still remember when he was drafted, and I remember I was writing, and I remember really questioning that pick at the time. You know, Clay Matthews, he wasn't on the radar. He was a little stretch for him, and I was quickly proven wrong. Quickly proven wrong, as, of course, he became a Super Bowl hero and a folk hero and a Pro Bowl player, and it was pretty clear that he was a champ and he was a guy who definitely became one of the two major faces of the franchise. But Clay Matthews has not been that solid of a linebacker the last several seasons. Isolating in on him, as I do many times during a game, I watch him go in to be a rusher, and he's handled usually single-handedly by one blocker. He, you know, we spoke with our interview with Bart about how much money our wide receivers are taking up against the salary cap. While we know that that's kind of a big thing, especially if you're going to re-sign Devontae Adams, what we're looking at right now is with Mr. Clay Matthews, is he is going into his last year of his contract, but he could be cut after this season with absolutely no acceleration of anything into the salary cap is dead space. He is going to count against the cap for $11,400,000. After watching the game last week in which Clay Matthews did not play, I can honestly say I didn't see a discernible difference in terms of how much pressure was being placed on that quarterback with him or without him. Does Clay Matthews get back there once every couple of games? Sure. But I think the time has come to look at Mr. Matthews, and if he isn't gone after the 2018 season, he might well be gone after this one. I don't know if it's going to happen, but if nothing else, that is my
hot pocket.
There it is. It's hard to find the button.
All right, well, I will try to get us back on board the optimism train. Though unfortunately, I'm not joining Jerzy Al in the run the table car. I'm in a different car, but I'm on the same train. My optimism car on the train is Blake Martinez, and basically just what an incredible young player he's turned into for the Packers. You know, Ted Thompson tends to work some magic in the fourth round of the draft, and he did it again with Blake Martinez. It's amazing to think that just a couple of years ago, we were all talking about how inside linebacker was a disaster. It was the Packers' biggest draft need. It was the thing keeping out of the Super Bowl. And now it's one of the few positions we don't have to worry about on any given snap. He is currently leading all inside linebackers in the league in run stops with 43, and he's missed only two tackles so far this season. So just really an incredible developmental leap for Blake Martinez, and he's one of the many things to be excited about for next season, kind of regardless of how the rest of this season goes. That is my
Hot Pockets.
All right. So two positives and one negative.
We should retitle the podcast, Pat.
We should. It's about it. All right.
Cheesehead Radio. Packers game predictions.
All right. Well, as Jersey Al has indicated, it's pretty much all on this game. It's all or nothing. As we lose this game, which will be at 12 o'clock this Sunday, taking on our former NFC Central rival, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Remember those days, Al?
Yes, sir.
Yes. It's really a win, a must-win for the Packers. I could probably guess, possibly, they lose this game. Certainly, if they lose the next two, Aaron Rodgers may not come back at all. Certainly a strong possibility. So how do we see this game turning out? We're going to start with Michelle.
Okay. So I'm predicting a really close one here just because it feels like such a toss-up. So that's kind of my way of popping out. We know that the Bucs are getting Jameis Winston back this week, which kind of seems like a huge advantage. But quite frankly, the team has looked way better at times with Ryan Fitzpatrick. So you really don't know how that's going to affect their offense, which definitely has, you know, the potential to be pretty deadly when it's performing. But once you add their offensive line injuries back into the picture, I think the Packers certainly have a chance if they look like they did in week 12. So I'm going Packers 21, Bucks 20.
All right, Jersey Al.
Okay, well, Tampa Bay just put two of their starting offensive linemen on injured reserve. So one would hope that the pass rush lacking Packers will be able to finally create some havoc in a offensive backfield and maybe put some pressure on the Bucs quarterback. Hopefully on the other side of the ball, Hundley stays on a positive trajectory and the Packers win game one of the official 2017 Run the Table Tour. Packers 24, Tampa Bay 17.
All right. Well, Green Bay Packers have definitely shown some improvement. And I think you saw a team go into Pittsburgh last week really with a lot of pride on the line. They surprised everyone. They surprised me. They surprised Michelle. They surprised Al. They surprised you. They surprised everybody by actually taking a team at home and almost handing it to them. This team has the ability to put it together, even against an elite opponent. Now, we're going to bring the Tampa Bay Buccaneers back to Lambeau Field, a team that is only 4-7. I think you hit on a good point there, Al. They've kind of started that little thing that happens to teams that know they've lost it, and suddenly good players start becoming injured, have to be put on an injured reserve. It's kind of that give up that happens sometimes with a team that's not doing well. I think the Packers should win this game running away, but I don't think they will. I think, like Michelle, I think it's going to be close. I think that they will come out on top, but I think we're going to be biting our nails at the end. But the Packers come out with the win, 17-15 over the Bucs.
Wow, three positives.
How about that?
Yeah, usually you spoil that party. What happened?
I usually do, but no, I think, well, I mean, they got to do it. I mean,
yeah,
not much
this is it.
This is it. All right, Michelle, are you ready to take us out?
I think it's out.
No, she's,
but I'm
no, she's not because
behalf.
I'm going to do it.
You're going to do it?
I am going to do it since
okay.
I missed the intro.
The world's been deprived of his smooth voice.
Oh, boy.
His what voice?
Smooth voice.
Tell him what words you used to describe Mike McCarthy's decision to kick the field goal. That was my favorite word.
Unconscionable.
Unconscionable.
Yeah, I like it. It's very apropos.
I do. She's so good at vocabulary. I love it.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for joining us tonight on Cheesehead Radio. And thanks to Bart Winkler for joining us again. Be sure to head on over to PackersTalk.com, where you can explore several unique Packers podcasts, not just ours. Please follow Packers Talk Net on Twitter and like the Packers Talk page on Facebook. Cheesehead Radio and all Packers Talk podcasts are available on iTunes. Just Google Packers Talk iTunes and you will find it. Be sure to subscribe and please leave us a review if you can. That really does help us out. You can also listen by using Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, or any podcatching app. Just search for Packers Talk. Finally, be sure to support our sponsor, Ticket King. You can find him on the web at theticketking.com. That's theticketking.com. That's a wrap for tonight. Go Pack Go, and let's run the table.
Drink!
look.
All right. Thanks a lot, Packer fans. We'll see you next week. Go Pack Go. Good night, all.
Good night, all.
Good night.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.